This episode of the UAV Digest is sponsored by GoEngineer, provider of design, engineering, and 3D printing solutions for the aerospace and unmanned vehicles industries. To learn more, visit the UAVDigest.com/GoEngineer. And by UAV Propulsion Tech, a provider of propulsion, servo, autopilots, and rescue and recovery parachute solutions for the unmanned aerial vehicle market. For more information, check out www.uavpropulsiontech.com. And by Unmanned Systems and Solutions, USAS, a combat veteran-owned company that repairs all types of drones. If you're a consumer who owns a drone, a small business using drones, or a drone manufacturer looking for sophisticated repair, distribution, and warehousing, look into USAS. For more information, visit unmannedsas.com/UAV Digest. You're listening to episode 184 of the UAV Digest. I'm Max Flight in Hartford, Connecticut.
And I'm David Vanderhoof in sunny, warm Philadelphia. It was 72 degrees and obscenely warm today.
It feels like spring, David.
It does. You know, it doesn't. It's been a very weird winter. We'll say that. I guess we got a slightly shortened, slightly shorter show this week because we had to. Our plan sort of went out the water. We had a guest, and unfortunately, they became ill. So we've got a little bit smaller show, but our guest will be worth it when he comes on the show. Dr. Benjamin Gould, who works for the Navy, will be having him probably in the next couple of weeks. So there was some really breaking news. AOPA has a new type of pilot. The FAA releases UAS reports. A freight dog, freight drone, and BVLOS and UPS. So I think let's take it away. What do you say, Max?
Let's jump right in.
Well, our first story this week comes from the actual story, which is AOPA.org. And this was their news and media report. And AOPA is the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Operative word there is pilots. Now, you don't have to be a pilot to be part of AOPA, but it helps. But they opened their arms to a new group of pilots, right, Max?
They did, to drone pilots. And this is, in some ways, this is not a surprise because we've seen many indications from AOPA in the past that they are interested in unmanned aircraft as well as manned aircraft. In fact, they've always participated in the rulemaking process with regard to drones. And last year, they created a new position, a senior director of UAS programs. They filled that spot, almost 12 months ago, April 2016, with Kathleen Cat Swain. Now, there's a great quote in here from AOPA concerning pilots, both manned and unmanned. They say, both groups are part of general aviation and share a fascination for flight and a craving for new perspectives.
And so AOPA entered a formal agreement with Dart Drones to offer their online training course free to AOPA members. It's a really, I was really, when this press release came out, I was really, really pleasantly surprised. I can't encourage enough all of our pilots who listen to the show, become a member of AOPA. It's a great organization. The fact that they're acknowledging that drone pilots are pilots, considering how, it just shows how far we've come in the years we've been doing this, Max. People being terrified of drones flying through windows.
Yeah, we certainly have, Dave. And AOPA membership is not really very expensive. The regular membership for 1 year is just $69 a year. And as you mentioned, David, you don't have to be a pilot. I've been an AOPA member for a number of years because I support the organization and the advocacy that they provide. So I think I agree, David, it's well worth it. But they have taken a few steps to kind of bring drone pilots into their organization. As you mentioned, they have this agreement with DART Drones for training. Also, members with AOPA will be able to enjoy a discount on an online Part 107 test prep course. It's half price for the course, basically. They also mentioned that members of AOPA will be able to experience drone demonstrations and live seminars, at major air shows, and of course at the AOPA regional fly-ins. And they also plan to conduct a pretty comprehensive series of drone webinars and podcasts during the course of 2017. So, yeah, I think both of us would encourage all of you listening to take a look at this. Their website, of course, is aopa.org, and you'll find membership information there. You'll also find the article that we're referencing here in the show notes, and there's more information about AOPA in that article.
So definitely go out and get your membership, because it's a great way for GA to mingle with the drone community and vice versa and make it all a better place, because we all love flight. So yeah. Let's move on to other things. Our weekly FAA report. This got released today, that we record this on the 23rd of February, 2017. The FAA released updated drone sighting reports. Now, there was a corollary to this, which was, quote, although the data contains several reports of pilots claiming drone strikes on their aircraft, to date, the FAA has not verified any collision between a civil aircraft and a civil drone. Every investigation has found the reported collisions were either birds, impacts with other items such as wires or posts, structural failure not relating to or coinciding with unmanned aircraft. So lots of sightings, but no hits yet, which is kind of good news.
And the number of sightings is going up. The recent report covers the period from February through September and in 2016. And during that period last year, there were 1,274 reports that came in, and they can come in from pilots and air traffic controllers, law enforcement, even just ordinary citizens can provide these reports. So that was 1,274 over that period in 2016. But in 2015, the prior year, only 874 reports. So as you can see, the number is increasing. The issue that we've talked about and others have too in analyzing the data is sort of the quality of the reports. In some cases, you really kind of wonder if it really was a drone that was sighted or some other object. The FAA makes the data available. We'll have a link in the show notes to the UAS sightings report, where you can download Excel spreadsheets that show the details about the reports, and you can sort them and look at them by U.S. state and analyze them in some ways like that. But when you take a look at some of these, you know, David, some of these things are at altitudes that you really wonder if a drone was up that high. I mean, when you're up there a couple of thousand feet, how many people are flying their drones up at that altitude?
Probably not a whole heck of a lot. You wonder if the sightings are going up because it's more commonplace to talk about them. Or there's more knowledge out there. But pilots are usually... What sort of surprises me is way back in the day when I used to deal with lots of UFOs and teaching classes on UFOs, we always regarded pilots as having really good eyesight and really good at their environment. And when they reported something, there was an air of credibility to it. But it seems like there's a lot of people who are just seeing drones left and right, and I don't understand why.
Yeah, and you know, when I make comments like I just did, I'm not suggesting that pilots are, bad visual observers or you know, have some other motives in this. I think people believe what they think they saw, but you do kind of wonder. But the significant thing here, though, is that the reported sightings are going up. And it is kind of interesting looking through the data in the spreadsheet. You see things with commercial airliners. You see things with sightings general. With general aviation, right? Aircraft, you know, a wide variety. And it's kind of fun. I used the dropdown, and so I could just take a look at the sightings for that quarter that I looked at here in Connecticut. And there were three of them. Two of them were around the international airport here, Bradley International Airport, and another in a different location. But, you know, it's kind of interesting to take a look at what's happening around you with regard to these drone reports.
Our next story comes from Mobility Buzz. Nautilus offers first look at freight drone prototype. And yes, it's Nautilus, not Nautilus. And this is from Isaac on our Slack team. So what's the Nautilus?
Nautilus is the concept of a large autonomous freight drone. And when I say large, I mean really large, like 747 or Boeing 777 kind of size. They want to produce this in a way that they say will reduce the global air freight costs by 50% over that of a 747 freighter. So Nautilus is based in San Jose, California. Last year in June, they received some seed funding from Draper Associates, $750,000 in seed funding. And their prototype is called Nemo. they say it's, quote, about the size of a small Predator military drone. So what they're looking for is some additional funding this summer, and they plan to build a full-scale prototype.
And they want to be able to transport 200,000 pounds of cargo from Los Angeles to Shanghai in 30 hours at a cost of $130,000, which is, now this is interesting, seven times faster than a ship, which takes 504 hours and costs $60,000, and is 50% cheaper than a Boeing 747, which takes 11 hours but costs $260,000. So they're trying to find I guess we would call it a sweet spot, Max, where you're getting it sort of fast and inexpensive at the same time, finding a balance, you know? So yes, you'll be able to get it faster, and yes, you'll be able to get it cheaper, but finding that balance between the two is where they're going for. It's kind of interesting. Cargo seems to be an interesting aspect. This is not really drone delivery. This sort of makes more sense to me than the official drone delivery. You know, you can take off from an airport, fly across the ocean, and land at an airport and use the existing infrastructure. You're not building a new infrastructure, especially long distance flights. And it's not unreasonable considering we have people in Creek, Nevada, flying Predator drones over Afghanistan on the other side of the world. So this seems to be a more practical drone delivery. I kind of like this idea.
I agree with you, David. It seems a lot lower risk than other sort of large-scale commercial endeavors with autonomous unmanned aircraft. Now, obviously, with that much cargo, if you lost the aircraft, that would be, not insignificant. I mean, that's a lot of cargo, could be worth a lot of money. But you're not endangering other people, at least to the same degree that you might if you've got these things operating over populated areas or package delivery drones in urban environments, things like that.
And transoceanic would be the best opportunity. I don't know how many people would be comfortable with their drone flying over the continental United States, but there's a risk involved with any sort of shipping. You know, when I worked at Franklin Mint one Christmas, 2 weeks before Christmas, we were supposed to get seven or eight containers full of merchandise from China. And in the harbor, the boat capsized and the containers went overboard. So it, I mean, and that's a standard container ship. It was just an accident and it happened. So I really like this idea. And maybe if someone from Netless listens to us, we'd love to have you come on and talk about it. But finding that sweet spot, and it's thinking out of the box. Very good for them.
One question I would have for them, though, is does it make more sense to design a new aircraft for this kind of purpose, or just take an existing 747, some kind of a freighter, and convert it to autonomous operation? I don't know. I'm not sure what the, you know, what the relative costs are of those two different approaches, but it just seems like a clean sheet of paper.
There's an awful lot of 747-400 freighters floating around out there that could be used
for... Yes.
But you're thinking, you just want Pratt Motors driving everything.
Oh, as long as... Yeah.
So, yeah. So let's go a little bit deeper. And this is from PM Newswire.
PRN. PR Newswire.
Oh, PR Newswire. Trifocals, folks. Still haven't gotten used to them. A Nevada-based consortium using Drone America UAV completes first long-distance BVLOS urban package delivery. A 39-mile beyond visual line of sight flown under in the Nevada test site under FAA's COA was done on February 15, 2017.
This was led by the Nevada Institute for Autonomous Systems, which manages that UAS test site. And they used, as you mentioned, David, the Drone America vehicle. This was called a Savant UAV. They flew it as high as 1,500 feet AGL. And it was a one-hour flight. So it was not a gigantically speedy flight. I guess that makes it about average, about 39 miles an hour.
And Drone America talks about their Savant. It has an interchangeable payload system, allowing different sensor packages, an 11-foot, 10-inch wingspan with a 10-pound empty weight, max speed 85 miles an hour. Clearly, folks, this was not large-scale delivery. Flight duration is up to 2 hours, which makes sense. It flew for a one-hour flight, which means we've talked about this. It's what? You figure 40-minute flight time that gives you 10 minutes on each end. And it was done by setting waypoints using a tablet.
The way the Savant is controlled is used by, like you say, setting waypoints and flight parameters. They used a Panasonic Toughbook tablet, or you could just use any kind of a laptop. Launching is by, I guess you call this kind of a catapult launcher. And it lands... Well, it's got several options for landing. It can land on Kevlar belly pads, or it can be landed into a net, or by parachute. And just more broadly, besides package delivery, they have sensor packages for this that are optimized for different uses, things like crop health or water status, livestock health, wastewater runoff detection, things like that, that are offered by these Drone America UAVs.
I think about what you said there about water status, irrigation coverage, and wastewater runoff. That sounds like Northern California near dams
does.
Right now. So,
those poor
so maybe
people.
California should invest in some Drone America Savants. Well, let's round out the trio. You know, everything comes in threes. So let's round out with UPS tests residential delivery via drone launched from a top package car. Now, we've talked about BMW coming up with a truck that could launch drones and deliver packages. Well, UPS has got a similar truck. You can load the package from the truck into the drone, and the drone will go on its way to make a separate delivery. And they tested this out in Tampa, Florida, with the Workhouse Group, a manufacturer of medium-duty electric delivery vehicles and truck-launched UAS delivery drones. So Workhouse Group is actually trying to push ahead with this project.
They have an octocopter. It's called Horsefly, which is an interesting name. And what happens is that the horsefly, it docks on the roof of this delivery truck. And it's actually under a cover about 2/3 of the top of the truck is covered by this sort of sliding panel that slides open and reveals the drone. Now, there's a cage that's suspended underneath the drone, and that fits into or goes into the inside of the truck. So the driver loads the package into the cage and then punches in the destination on a touch screen inside the van, inside the delivery truck, and the drone goes off and does its delivery thing. Now, while that's taking place, the truck driver can continue on his route, go down and make another delivery, and the horsefly drone comes back and meets back up with the delivery truck, reattaches itself or lands into the roof of the truck. While it's up there, it recharges itself, and the process repeats.
And it's a 30-minute flight time with a 10-pound package. And their comments were, it's beneficial for rural deliveries. And I that's actually very clever. An area of the country that you know is Northern Virginia. And I had family that lived in Northern Virginia in farm country and horse country. And they get regular package deliveries. So it would be kind of cool to have the drone take off and deliver a package to a house or a farm that's a couple of hundred acres away from the one you're delivering to right now. It would cut the time and avoid lots of long and winding roads. And it's time consuming for a less amount of packages because everything's so spaced out there.
Yeah, I think it could bring great efficiencies to, like you say, especially rural areas where each delivery location is spread by some distance. So UPS has apparently achieved some success with this. There are a number of questions that you might ask that we don't have answers to, things like where does the drone deliver the package? We've seen with Amazon Prime Air a concept where maybe the customer prints out a sort of a target that the drone finds and lands on or drops the package on. I don't know what UPS has in mind for that. But we are really, David, I think we're seeing more and more examples of tests, proof of concept demonstrations that are starting to get pretty close to becoming a solution that could actually be implemented.
Yeah, I hate to admit it, but this actually sounded reasonable too. I like the rural delivery. That concept made sense to me over riding around in a city like the BMW commercial or the suburbs. This is a little bit more thinking practical about where you need to cover large amounts of territory, and by doing it with one truck is just it's just not practical, even though that's what they do. In this case, you're speeding up the process and you got less obstacles and less things to, until somebody takes out a horse or something. But there's it's a more practical, thought out use of the technology. Pizza delivery, I don't know about. But, medications, absolutely. I could see, pharmaceuticals, if you get your drugs via mail order, 10 pounds, a package of medication to a person that's a really practical use. So, again, I don't hold my breath because I live within 3/4 of a mile of an international airport. So that ain't ever happening in my universe. But how about you? Are you in Bradley's no-fly zone?
Not in Bradley's, but there are some other airports around, smaller GA airports around that put me inside the radius. So we'll see. We'll see how pervasive these kinds of delivery applications become. And maybe after some period of time, when the reliability of package delivery flights by drones is proved. Maybe there'll be some modifications to the, you know, the restrictions around airports. I mean, there'll always be some kind of restriction for very close into the airport, but, you know, 5 miles away, maybe that's something that could be shrunk down over time. Who knows? But we do have a video of this UPS residential delivery via drone demonstration. And I guess, David, we'll make that the video of the week, don't you think?
I think that would work. So I think, Max, I think with that, we should probably go through where people can find us in the universe.
You can find us at the UAVDigest.com. That's our homepage. If you want to go straight to the show notes for this episode, there's a handy shortcut. Just visit the UAVDigest.com/184. David, maybe we should just take a minute just very quickly to thank our sponsors for this episode. Go Engineer and UAV Propulsion Tech have been with us for a long time. We really greatly appreciate the support we've gotten from those two companies. And more recently, episodes have been sponsored by Unmanned Systems and Solutions, USAS, a very interesting company that performs a number of different services, but including UAS repairs. Now, these are not just, you know, some teenager in his garage who thinks, well, I can fix a Phantom. These are professionals in a real environment that can provide professional repair services. So be sure to check them out. But as for us, David, where can folks find us online?
Well, of course, we want you to join Max's favorite place to procrastinate when he doesn't want to edit, which is our Slack listener team. and you can do that by going to uavdigest.com/team, or you can just send us a email at feedback@theuavdigest with your email address saying, I want to join. Likewise, you can use the same email address, which is feedback@theuavdigest.com, to send us videos of the week or videos that you've shot with your UAV. And of course, you can always, if you want to tell us how wonderful we are or provide us a news story, again, you can send us emails at feedback@theuavdigest.com. And using that, I've practiced my technique from radio, which says you're supposed to say it three times and everybody will know it. So it's feedback@theuavdigest.com. And of course, you can, we'd love for you to leave some feedback for us on our iTunes page and our Stitcher.com page or our Google Play page. You can get some swag at our Cafe Press store or become a patron of the show at patreon.com/theuavdigest. And of course, all of those links are available on our homepage, which is theuavdigest.com. So with that, I'm going to say this is David in Philly.
And Max in Hartford.
Thanks for listening.
This episode was sponsored in part by Unmanned Systems and Solutions. 30 USAS technicians repair all types of drones in their 120,000-square-foot professional drone repair facility. USAS also offers full-service operations consulting and programs for commercial and government users. Visit unmannedsas.com/UAVDigest to learn more about how to get your drone repaired.